This is Scan, and I'm Hal Dragseth. There are times in our lives when everything, including us, seems to be falling apart. It's the ultimate test of our resilience. We learn what we're made of. Frederick Flack learned that firsthand. It appeared as though everything was going right for him.
You could say that at that point in life, I looked like one of fortune's darlings. I mean, I had a beautiful family, and I was very successful in my career, and financially very comfortable. And even philosophically sane, if you will. I mean, I had a sense of faith, and things all seemed to be put together, and I understood that life was not easy, but I didn't expect it to be too difficult. And in a very short space of time, my father died, not unusual, man in his late 70s, suddenly dropped dead on the beach. My mother, around that same time, had been put into a nursing home, and she was senile, her memory was gone. Then, very shortly thereafter, because we're now talking about being in a state of grief, two other very significant stresses occurred suddenly, unexpectedly. My daughter became very ill and had to be hospitalized. And I had to turn over to my colleagues who told me, doctor, stay out of it. You're her father, but you know you can't treat your own. And then suddenly, at the same time, my wife and I think, torn apart, if you will, because things were pretty good before this, by my daughter's illness and by the condition of grief we found ourselves in, suddenly we had a very intense state of tension in the home, and ultimately that led, in a matter of months, to separation and divorce. So I found myself confronted with an ill daughter, unfortunately made to feel guilty by many of my colleagues. You know, the psychiatrists and behavioral scientists have a way of making parents feel unnecessarily guilty whenever they're dealing with a youngster who is suffering with an emotional disorder. I also began to feel lonely, confused. There's a line in the Old Testament, it's in Job, and it says to Job, well, you've done a lot of good things for people. You've helped them. You've been a man of prosperity. You've been a singular man in the community. And now, Job, it has come to you. So I had that awful feeling of now it has come to me. And I went through several months of being really having a very strong sense of futility. I was scared, difficulty sleeping, couldn't concentrate too well.
Dr. Frederick Flack found his well-ordered life falling apart. The death of his father, confronting the senility of his mother, the emotional illness of his daughter, and his recent divorce.
Actually, took about 7 or 8 weeks off from the responsibility of seeing patients. At that time, I was doing a lot of research and teaching as well, because I found it was just too difficult to get through the day. And I talked to several friends, including colleagues, about what I was going through, and began to put this experience in some kind of a frame of reference. Now, it would be foolish to say that in a matter of 6 or 8 weeks, it was all put into this frame of reference. One friend of mine put it well, though. He said, you know, you're very upset. He said, that certainly beats a heart attack. I'll never forget that. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you were hardworking, driving, ambitious. He said, you were probably a number one candidate, if not in your late 30s and your early mid-40s, for an early heart attack. I said, well, you know, it's genetic. It runs in families. I said, my family has had longevity. He said, well, the pressure you were under. He said, I could see that happening. And I said, what are you saying to me? And he said, well, I don't know what I'm saying. But gradually, I myself began to formulate something that reshaped how I looked at my own experiences and how I looked at my patients and how I looked at people in general. That falling apart emotionally in the face of a series of significant and very meaningful changes in one's life is probably a much healthier alternative than becoming physically ill, and a much healthier alternative than keeping your wits about you at all times, having a certain sort of rigid and stern strength, because either of those alternatives, it seemed to me, not only did not permit you to react appropriately to what you were going through, but also did not set the stage for solutions that you could find in the future to deal with these problems more effectively, and also with new insights into yourself. I gained a significant number of new insights into myself and my work as a result of emerging from this dark night of the soul.
This is Scan. Someone said that trouble often seems to come in bunches. And when our life seems to be falling apart, Dr. Frederick Flack suggests that we allow ourselves to fall apart.
The other thing, of course, which is important, is if you're going to fall apart, be sure you fall apart in good company. We do live in a world, unfortunately, full of people who are ready to take advantage of, exploit, sell drugs to, financially exploit people who are in periods of vulnerability. And therefore, it's important to allow yourself to fall apart when you're surrounded with people or in contact with someone who is empathetic, understanding, trustworthy. And fortunately, I had that at that point in my life. When I went through this experience, I had some good friends, although not as many as I should have and not as many as I do now. Because one of the lessons I learned out of the experience was to revalue friendship. In college, med school, my early years, I had plenty of friends, and some very good friends. And then gradually, in the busyness of work and family life, let go of them because there wasn't enough time. And when this particular crisis came, I did find myself more alone than I should have been. And in the 20-some-odd years that have passed since this time, I have made a very definite effort to establish or reestablish friendships. And at this point in time, if at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, in the early or hours of the morning, I needed some kind of help, I've got half a dozen people I can call somewhere in the country, and it's reciprocal. They can call me, too. As a matter of fact, if you know that, you often don't have to make that phone call. but just knowing it is very important. I rediscovered my children. Now, children have always been very important to me, my own children. Especially, and it is not to say that before this crisis I didn't appreciate them, but after the crisis, they assumed a whole new meaning. They became not just children, but friends. And we're talking about little children, 7, 9, 11, and my daughter who was ill, who at that point was about 14. And now they're grown up. And I would say that as a result of what we went through, I don't have to struggle with the parent-child relationship as much as other people do at this point in life, because they were my friends, and now that they're adults, they're still my friends. And we were able to build a communication with each other, a giving and taking with each other, that is still there.
You're listening to Scan. When your life falls apart, it's okay for you to fall apart too. In fact, it might be a healthy alternative to rigid strength, the kind that can lead to heart attacks. Dr. Frederick Flack's life fell apart, and so did he. He discovered the strength of friendships, and he learned something else.
To be more independent. Now, I've always been independent. I mean, I grew up, I was independent. I was in the Second War of the Navy. You can't really be a doctor without being independent in many ways. You make some serious choices. Before I went into psychiatry, I was did my internship at Bellevue Hospital in New York, and you're making choices all the time in the emergency room, what to do for a very critical situation. So that kind of independence I already had. But I did not have the kind of independence which is an inherent part of being creative. And being able to withstand the pressures of what at that point was just beginning to be a very chaotic social structure around all of us. I'd say I was very traditional. You know, I mean, my values were traditional. They're still traditional in many ways. But I was still too influenced by what people around me said and thought. My daughter's a very good case in example, because for 10 years on and off, she was diagnosed as having a variety of psychiatric problems, and my colleagues were never able to get her well, and it really looked as though it might be a very hopeless situation. What kept us going, kept me going, kept her going in this situation was, without question, a sense of faith. I know she never stopped praying, for example. And I remember even at moments of hopelessness, feeling hope It was like living on two levels at the same time. It's all hopeless, but it really isn't all hopeless. There is hope. And it was if part of my mind was telling me there's hope and part of my feelings were telling me there was not. So I finally had to remove her from the care of my colleagues, take her to a rehabilitation center in Princeton, New Jersey, where Dr. Carl Pfeiffer was giving nutritional therapy, orthomolecular therapy, not a very popular nor respected approach by my colleagues. Took her to someone trained at the Gazelle Institute who was studying perceptual problems in youngsters who, to his surprise and mine, found that she was functionally blind and probably had been functionally blind since she was three, and that this was really not some kind of a simple psychiatric problem at all, and proceeded to engage her in visual perceptual retraining. But within 4 months under the new program, she was much better. She had her own apartment. She got a job, and within a year was quite independent and has never seen a psychiatrist for any psychiatric reason in the 14 years that have passed since that time. She's married, has three children, and is extremely well, and has become a gifted person in terms of she's studying nursing. She's very talented and has a very real healing gift herself.
This is SCAN. How resilient are you in the face of change and stress? Dr. Frederick Flack believes what we learn as we fall apart under stress teaches us valuable lessons about dealing with future stress.
People ask me, is stress greater now than it was before? And the answer is probably no. I mean, it's different. The stress in 200 years ago was probably the stress of staying alive, getting food, and so forth. Today it's much more complex and it calls for psychological resourcefulness. So it's a different kind of stress. Secondly, it's a stress that stems from the fact that things are changing at such a rapid pace. Most people know that the vast majority of inventions and discoveries made by human beings have been made in the last 50 years. When you think of the incredible power of telecommunications, you really realize that the world is shrinking and that things are changing. And in a way, it gives most people a sense of being somewhat out of control anyway. Add to that the fact that the structures of the society are also going through a chaos of their own. I mean, I think medicine's going through chaos, psychiatry's going through chaos, family life is certainly going through chaos with divorce, disruption, one-parent families, very difficult. I think that the employment picture is going through chaos. I mean, the job you've trained in for 20 years may be obsolete tomorrow because of some new technological change. And values are in chaos. I cringe when people say, well, anything goes, you know, it really doesn't matter. Because it's not very good mental health advice to say anything goes, anything doesn't go. But we live in times in which increasingly you and I have to assume command of our lives and be independently able to sail our ship in the middle of a very confusing and very stormy kind of situation. And to do that demands kind of resilience that is in itself a strength, because putting some distance between yourself and the problems that you feel you cannot solve at the moment. And here I'm talking about putting a little bit of distance between yourself and some of the tempting but very potentially risky, alluring attractions that this confusion around us causes.
You're listening to SCAN. One of the stresses of our culture is economic. We feel the need to consume, to create a certain lifestyle. We can protect ourselves from some of that stress.
These are very difficult attractions to resist. And most of us are vulnerable to being like everybody else and wanting to be like everybody else. But there's also a very serious side to this. I mean, I've seen as a doctor many couples who making $30,000 or $40,000 a year or $50,000 a year with a couple of children can barely meet their expenses. One gets the feeling that there is an increasing concentration of wealth in the hands of individuals and corporate structures and the government too, as a matter of fact.
And the middle class and the upper middle class, who at one point really represented the backbone of our country, are struggling to make ends meet when one has this illusion that everybody has everything they want. And I think it's a very, very serious contemporary stress calling for as much imagination and resilience as the individual can muster. There is a paleontologist, Tara Desjardins, who wrote a book called The Phenomenon of Man in the 1950s. And he talked about evolution in this book, but the gist of his message is that evolution continues, but this time it is continuing on a psychological and social basis rather than just on a physical basis, and that we are in the middle of a maelstrom, we're in the middle of a storm that is getting us all ready for the 22nd century. It's a very optimistic book. It has enormously deep spiritual connotations to it, but I happen to prefer to think he's right, and that when we look around us and we see the chaos that the world is in, our attention is captured by those people who are taking advantage of the chaos or exploiting the chaos rather than the chaos itself. And we feel it in our personal lives, we feel it in our work lives, in our many aspects of our experiences. If we can have a frame of reference, if we can say, I'm going somewhere and the world's going somewhere, and it's just going to mean that I have to devote as much time and energy to developing my psychological, mental, emotional, and spiritual resilience as I am now spending developing my physical strength, jogging and running and eating the right foods, and being careful about nutrition, all of which are vitally important to resilience. But if I put as much effort into developing meaningful psychological strength, then I will once more have a sense of being in command of what my life is all about and be able to really accomplish whatever it is that I and my destiny married to each other are designed to accomplish.
You've been listening to a remix version of SCAN, an electronic sweep of the horizon discovering God's activity in the world. We featured psychologist Frederick Flack, who has discovered some keys to mental and emotional health. SCAN is a production of Select Learning, a continuing education program of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.